The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
You are the only member who knows who that individual is, and your staff is the only staff of any member of Congress who's had a chance to talk with that individual. We would like that opportunity. When might that happen in this proceeding today?
First, as the gentleman knows, that's a false statement. I do not know the identity of the whistleblower, and I'm determined to make sure that identity is protected.
So that's Jim Jordan asking Adam Schiff, who, by the way, his staff met with, advised, consulted the whistleblower. So that's Jim Jordan asking, when can the rest of Congress, specifically this committee, get to question the whistleblower? And here's the really interesting thing. Nobody on planet Earth believed Adam Schiff's answer. I don't know the identity of the whistleblower. In fact, if you go back to Twitter this morning when he said that and you look at, like, immediately people are like, what the what? And it just came off as. And I don't know. Schiff may not know the identity of the whistleblower. That may be the strategy. He purposefully said, I don't want to know his name or her name or whoever. But, you know, and he may have advised his staff that way. I don't think America believes that. I don't think that they think there's a snowball's chance in a hot oven that's within 10% of being true. But, you know, that's him. That's Adam Schiff. That's Shifty Schiff. 48 hours ago, I got the phone call from Fox saying, hey, come in and co-anchor the coverage with Harris Faulkner on the broadcast channel today. I was pretty pumped about that. In fact, I was awake early. I do that when the adrenaline's rushing. Got up, went to the gym early, got the mind clear, got in the car, went live on the air at 9:55 today with Harris. We had about 10-15 minutes of you know, the pre-roll for the coverage, and you know that we were talking about what we were going to see and how we were going to see it. And then within about 35-40 minutes, man, did everything start to go south fast. Today we were told that we were going to hear from acting ambassador to the Ukraine, William Taylor. This man was supposed to be the witness for Adam Schiff. First of all, his speech lasted, I kid you not, like 117 minutes. It was forever. All the other opening speeches, statements were just a few minutes long. His went on and on. We got a printout of it in the Fox anchor room. It was over 20 pages, single space, tightly typed. And he read every last comma on that thing. But there were some moments that I do think can give America some degree of satisfaction that we are now entering what I believe to be the final phase of impeachment. I don't have any doubt about it. After today, we are going to be more or less done with the impeachment being anything on the psyche of the public. And the reason that that's important is because as I was going into Fox today, I thought, you know, this could be the beginning of a very long process. But you had a number of things that were just compelling from the very beginning that I just want to point out about today. First of all, there is this assumption that the witnesses today were going to completely back up the Democratic narrative, and they didn't. U.S. Deputy Secretary Kent actually admitted in his opening statement that Burisma and Hunter Biden's activities at Burisma were an issue that began to concern him back in 2015. And so he started speaking up and asking about that. He said he continued to ask about it into the future. Evidently, the situation didn't get cleaned up anytime soon. There is this assumption that the investigation into 2016 should not be allowed by the president. But actually, that is a quid pro quo that he can ask for. And he rightfully did on the phone call. He said, hey, I want you to do us a favor. This election interference in 2016, we're trying to get to the root of what caused the election interference in 2016. We would like your help in resolving that. That's allowed. He also never asked for a quid pro quo on the Bidens, which wouldn't be allowed, but it didn't happen. And here's some other stuff I just want to point out about today. Both of the witnesses that they called, neither one of them had firsthand knowledge of the phone call that started this whole thing. Neither one of them were on the call. And when Mr. Taylor started down the long and winding road to never finishing his opening statement, the thing about Mr. Taylor that was really interesting is that he had almost nothing to do with the crime. There was no mention of a crime or crimes that were committed. It was a 1 hour lecture on his view of foreign policy and why he was uncomfortable with the administration's view of the foreign policy that was carried out. It was a disagreement about policy between the administration and a guy that was serving as their ambassador in that region. There was nothing even remotely close to a high crime or misdemeanor. Something else you need to know. For this to have been even remotely related to bribery or extortion or some of the words that people are throwing around now, which are totally illegitimate, the aid would have never been delivered. You would have had two things happen. One, they would have opened the investigation, and two, aid would have never been delivered. The fact that aid not only was delivered, but was delivered nearly 20 days before it had to be legally. So the aid had to be delivered by the 30th of September. It was actually delivered on the 11th of September. So technically, the president still had 2 weeks more that he could have waited to deliver the aid. But he didn't. So that's relevant. And Mr. Taylor's views of Russia and Ukraine's relationship, I mean, it made for a kind of interesting history lesson about what he thought and how America should play a role in this, has nothing to do with the item at hand, which was the president going beyond his right to ask for help in investigations into election interference in the United States in 2016? And then did he or did he not put pressure on President Zelensky to investigate the Bidens? Now, President Zelensky has said numerous times. In fact, there was a 10-hour press conference he did, 10 hours in October, I think the 10th in his country, just to the Ukrainian press, in which he resolutely over 900 times says there was no pressure. Mr. Trump didn't pressure me. I didn't feel any pressure. There was no pressure at all. No pressure. There was no pressure. Over 900 times, over 10 hours. He says that, no, there wasn't anything wrong with the call that the president made. Democrats didn't want to bring that up today. They did know what was brought up today, and I thought was relevant, was that there were officials that the Democrats should have been concerned about, ones that were working with the DNC. There was this woman, Alexandra Chalupa, who was a Democratic National Committee activist that was actively working with Ukrainian officials to achieve certain things prior to the 2016 election. So to summarize the kind of crazy, illogical, vastly boring, kind of dead on arrival impeachment inquiry that Adam Schiff launched today, the president had all the rights to ask for a quid pro quo on 2016 investigation into election interference. It's completely appropriate to connect, by the way, in the transcript, as it does, the Department of Justice and the Prosecutor General in the Ukraine. In fact, at one point, the counsel for Devin Nunes in today's hearing, he really went down this path and he really pressed. He said, so it's appropriate. It would be normal channels for us and a foreign country working on a corruption investigation together for our Department of Justice and their Prosecutor General to do that together. And Ambassador Taylor said yes. And that was what we did. That was what that phone call also asked for. These two witnesses, who had no firsthand knowledge, were not on the call and admitted, at least Mr. Taylor did, that he's never even spoken to the president. Why they were the brand A exhibits for the evidence of the prosecution is pretty mind-boggling. And if we've got six more days of this, heaven help us. Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.